comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Let's play the blues, baby, but I don't remember the words to this song.
Hey, everybody. This episode of Radio Labyrinth, post-Thanksgiving edition, is brought to you by Mike Spittler, Sean Hall, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, and Keith Tate. Thank you very much.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
I suppose it all started with the snow. You see, it was a very special kind of snow. A snow to make the happy happy and the giddy even giddy. A snow to make a homecoming homier and natural enemies friends.
We've created a magazine. Mr. Trump, we give you
Scabby.
Happy birthday!
That hat brought Frosty to life. It must be magic.
Emma Thump and the magic in that old silk hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, dude!
What?
Don't put the magic hat on the snowman.
Why?
Because if you do, he's gonna come to life.
Cool.
No, it's not cool. My sister in Minnesota put a hat on a snowman and it tried to kill her.
Fuck him. Let's do it anyway.
Yeah.
For having a great family and for having made a tremendous difference in this country. I've made a tremendous difference in the country. This country is so much stronger now than it was when I took office that you wouldn't believe it. So much stronger that people can't even believe it. When I see foreign leaders, they say we cannot believe the difference in strength between the United States now and the United States 2 years ago.
Excuse me, where's the lobby?
Down the hall and to the left.
Thanks.
Who exactly are you?
Well, that's the question.
I demand to know who you are!
I don't know!
See, that's the thing. I'm a doctor, but beyond that, I just don't know. I literally do not know who I am. It's all untested.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Stephanie Swain, Autumn Fisher, and sometimes effing Ira Malkin.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to get, I got to start working on doing a Ray Liotta impression.
Why is that?
Because he quit smoking with Chantix.
Yeah, when I watch those commercials, I don't know if it's Chantix or Shantix, because everybody says it just a little differently.
Right. And then in that commercial, he's, you know, there's, you know, he's setting the table, you know, cutting fruit, helping the grandkids or whatever. Yeah, I stopped, you know, and I think back, you know, to Goodfellas.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's killing people. And fucking Janice can do whatever she wants. Got it? No, he's like, yeah, I had to quit smoking.
And his skin looks so plastic in that commercial.
He's had
some dermabrasion or something.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it looks weird.
It does look weird. And he's got his, you know, he's always had that weird thing where his lips didn't really move, you know? But it's even worse now. Ray Liotta. Quit smoking with Chantix. I tried Chantix once. I had horrible dreams.
Really?
Yeah, you don't smoke, do you?
Oh, I used to. I smoked. It was weird.
Vape now.
I waited till I was 18 years old,
right.
And I bought my first pack of cigarettes, and I was just like, boom. And I did it because I was trying to make this girl mad because she broke up with me. I was like, well, fuck you.
Fuck you, bitch. I'm going to kill myself.
I'm going to go out there and get these cigarettes and be a badass. So I chain smoked, and then I was like, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Let's keep it up. And then so I quit a while back because the when I was a cop, our insurance was going to go up if we were smokers. So every smoker had to pay like $50 extra a month for their insurance. Wow. And I was like, all right, that's
free market at work.
I need to quit.
Well, I'm glad. How long have you been smoke free?
Probably about 5-6 years.
That's good. That's good. Hey, everybody.
But now I picked up vaping.
Well, yeah. If you don't need to vape, don't you?
I didn't. I was perfectly fine. I had quit.
You're like my body needs more formaldehyde.
You do nicotine in your juice?
Yeah, 0.3 or whatever the lowest
real
setting.
Low one, yeah. You can get someone no nicotine at all.
I tried that, but yeah.
What's the point?
I like a little bit of feeling. Like I was like, I'll reward myself. Like this was my reward.
Jeff's a Jewel man.
Yeah.
He likes Jewel.
I do.
The
Zombieland. Is that a Zombieland hat?
Yeah, he's an old Zombieland man.
But Zombieland 2.
They're working on it.
They greenlit the script, I think.
Yep.
Well, who will be in it?
Everybody.
The original cast.
Yep. Even Bill Murray? He's dead.
Not Bill Murray, but I'm going to go with the Tallahassee.
Emma Stone.
Well, yeah, but they had all nicknames.
Yeah, I can't remember everybody's
names. Can they keep the one guy out of it? I hate that actor.
Oh, Eisenberg?
Yeah, I can't stand that guy. Cannot stand him in anything.
I liked him in Zombieland, but I got tired of him. Like Michael Cera.
Uh-huh.
Like, they just play the same.
He's the poor man's Michael Cera.
They're the same. They never play anything different than, oh, I'm the nerdy guy that.
Yeah, and I never envisioned Lex Luthor being a shitty millennial.
No.
A whiny fucking crybaby millennial.
I was hoping that they were going to swerve us and say that, like, he's the son of the real Lex Luthor and, like, bring in.
The real Lex Luthor.
Yeah, you know, like an older guy with
Kevin
a bald
Spacey.
Head. Yeah. Superman Returns.
I thought that was good, except for the big crystal fucking thing. Whatever. He tried to make the Earth into Krypton. Hey, this is episode 152, an abbreviated, not 90-minute episode as we usually do. We are joined this week by local artist and all-around good guy, Brian Silverbacks.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
You are welcome. Jeff is here.
Hey, all right. I tried to get Ira and his dad to come.
Yeah, but, they're not.
They wouldn't show up.
Nah. Ira's having fun with his family. Autumn is in... what state is she in? She's in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I was just up there.
With her family. And Steph is, she had a wonderful Thanksgiving eating vegan.
Vegan peanut butter waffles.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Like, what's the point in Thanksgiving? It's just regular day. Like, that's just your meal.
She thought it would be a good idea to spruce up the vegan waffles with real maple syrup. So she bought, like, the smallest bottle you could get.
Yeah.
And she said
probably $100.
No, I think she said it was like $19 or something. But
that's why the other day Jeff's texting me prices for maple syrup. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't care about maple syrup.
And so she said it didn't help the vegan waffles at all.
My grandpa and he had maple trees in his backyard, so I helped him 1 year tap them.
Mm-hmm.
And all the work you do to get. Just a little.
You need
tiny,
like 100 buckets to make.
I know
one bucket.
He rendered it down. And I remember it took a very long time for him to get very little amount. And I treated it like liquid gold because I got a jar of it and I brought it home. It's like, nobody touched this. This is my fucking maple syrup. Anyway, 152. We are back next week, 153, with a full lineup, including this is what we're going to talk about next week. Our favorite classic Christmas songs, our best Christmases ever, thinking presents under the tree. So it could be 70s and 80s, maybe even 90s if you still had that going on. Everything we're watching, listening to, and the Redbox Trolls preview of Christmas movies 2018, including that weird-looking, what's his name? The guy from The Thing.
Not Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell's playing Santa Claus on some Netflix show.
Oh, that's on Netflix. Yeah, I saw that.
Saw a trailer for it. And guys, the deluge has begun in earnest, but before we get to that... let's see, social media. You can follow Radio Labyrinth at @radio_labyrinth on Twitter. Radio Labyrinth, you can find that on Facebook. You can follow me, my personal Twitter account. I'm trying to dial back the politics, so if that annoys you, there'll be less of it. You know, I'm in a Christmas mood. At Tim Andrews here. How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, just follow Tim until January 1st, and then you unfollow him.
Yeah.
when the Grinch comes back.
Yep.
Where can
Christmas
people find
is over. JeffKeyz is my Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff.
All right, Brian, and where can people see your
stuff? Just Brian Silverbacks. It's
spell
pretty,
it.
Silver BAX.
Okay, Silver BAX, and that's all the social media, right?
Oh, Brian with a Y.
Brian with a Y. Ooh,
Brian
it's
with
a fancy.
A fancy.
Auto Pritz, AutoPritts is where you find Autumn on Instagram and Twitter, and Steph has some weird...
Staphylococcus.
Yeah, you got to figure that out on your own. I don't know how to fucking spell it. So everybody will be back next week. We'll have a good time. But this week, we're all stuffed to the gills. Did you have a good Thanksgiving, Brian Silverbacks?
I did, man. I actually had like two. I had one with my wife's family.
Uh-huh.
And then I had this new thing, Friendsgiving. Right? Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I did that. So, well, we did that last year at my house.
Yeah, so I went over to a buddy of mine's house, and then we didn't really eat so much as just did some mixers and watched the Saints kill the Falcons.
That was a horrible game.
Golly, like from the first drive, I was just like, the Falcons didn't show up today, man.
It's a shitty game if you're into fantasy football, too. I had Austin Hooper, the tight end of the Falcons.
Who's always doing great.
I know.
Even if the team sucks, he's doing great.
How about this? Alvin Kamara is one of my running backs. He got 9 fucking points because Drew Brees was just, you know, oh, here, Merry, happy Thanksgiving. Here, you have a touchdown. You have a touchdown. You have a touchdown. But my running backs aren't getting any. And, you know, and it sucks. And then they had that wide receiver who last week did so, Jaquan Smith, I think is his name.
I don't know. The
Traquan Smith. Traquan Smith. No, he's on the Saints.
Oh.
He's either a first
Matt
or
Ryan
second
still got
year.
Me 60 points.
Eh, fuck him. And, how many fumbles did he have?
Sacks.
And so this guy, this Traquan Smith, breakout week last week.
Yeah, so
and
you put him
so
in this
I,
week.
I put him in this week because everybody's like, oh, start him against the Falcons. And he fucking got hurt in practice and didn't even play. My team's fucked, but who cares? Fantasy football. You know, I'm in third place. I'm going to make the playoffs, and then that'll be that.
I'm not going to make the playoffs.
No, your team stinks.
Oh, I participate in the Fantasy Movie League. Have you guys heard of this?
I joined up, and then it kept sending me emails like, make your picks, and I just keep forgetting to do it.
All right, yeah, so what is the Fantasy Movie League? Where do you find it first, and then
FantasyMovieLeague.com. Like, you get together with some friends, and you can create your own league.
Mm-hmm.
So I do it with a couple of comic book shop owners, and you give in $1,000 fantasy dollars, and you have to pick which movie will have the highest yield.
Like Wreck-It Ralph breaks the internet, it would be your number one pick for
But Wreck-It Ralph would be like $600. So you'd
right.
600 of your $1,000 goes to that, and you have 8 spots to fill.
So it's like a FanDuel.
I don't know.
Where you get a certain amount of money, and then you got to place everything in there.
Yeah, and so you want to get all 8 picks,
right?
But you picking one $600 movie isn't going to win you that week.
Uh huh.
So you really try to shoot for what comes in third. You want to pick the movie that comes in third because it'll run you about $100, and those are. So it's like a fantasy football league, but it's just like picking movies.
Yeah,
like
and you have a salary cap that you,
you find the one with Amy Schumer in it, and you realize that that's not going to go anywhere. You can guess who's I mean, a lot of people just are box office poison.
Well, yeah, but what I try to do is you try to, all right, my kid's movie, like you got to have a couple of kids. You pick like 2 of this kid's movie.
What's the website again?
Fantasy
Movie League.
Fantasy Movie League.
All right, keep talking.
But so you try to pick. I always try to keep. All right, kids are going to go to the movie theater. Here's what they're going to get.
Right.
The black audience, they got a movie coming out. You know, that's probably going to be a big hit. So you gamble with the low because they don't cost much, but you know that a lot of people are going to go out and see them. So you're not really shooting for what's number one at the box office.
Right.
Which one ever cost you the less and is going to get the most return? I don't know the formula or their algorithm that they use. But I've been sucking ass. But it's fun to try to guess.
All right. So, you know, I just signed up. It's very simple to sign up. I just use my Google account. This week, November 23rd through 25th, I guess I'm out of the running for that one.
Well, the season's almost over. I think next week is the last week of the season.
Oh, they have seasons?
Yeah, it's like 13 weeks. It just goes 13 weeks at a time.
Oh, all right.
There'll be a new season starting soon, though.
Yeah, it starts then immediately the next week, so there's no downtime.
All right, I'm going to pick the front runner to be number one this weekend.
We did some stuff at my work for that movie. I can't remember what it was, though. I know we did some U.S. flags. It's that Gary Hart documentary with, what's his name playing
What
Gary
was her
Hart.
Name? Hugh Jackman is playing
Hugh Jackman.
Gary Hart. But what's the name of that woman? Donna Rice.
Donna Rice.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was shot here in Atlanta, and we printed some props that they use.
Donna Rice. Sweet. I saw her on Good Morning America this week. She still looks pretty good.
You're still watching that Monica Lewinsky thing?
I never watched it at
all. I thought you were going to watch it.
Nah, I decided against it. I don't care. I don't care about Clinton. Yeah,
it's nothing that we haven't already heard.
Yeah, we know all about it, and we know that he lied and got a blowjob from her. So
yeah, who wouldn't?
Yeah. From who? Monica Lewinsky?
From anybody. Like, not too many people just saying no.
Well, apparently he used to he used to not finish.
Oh.
And then he would finish himself. And this one time, he accidentally got it on the dress, and that's the only way she could prove it. Otherwise,
fucking Linda Tripp.
Why fucking Linda Tripp?
Because she had to be a bitch and ruin everything.
Well, she's not the one that had a 20-year-old blow.
Hey, if you had the opportunity to have a 20-year-old blow at you, you would take it.
Depends on what he looks like.
Well, if you weren't. If I wasn't.
How much facial hair the dude had.
Anyway, so let's get back to it. So, Brian, you are a local artist.
Yes, sir.
Tell us kind of what you do. Refresh us.
What I do is I try to create pretty pictures and put them out on social media and land jobs.
Right.
But currently, the paying work that I'm doing is I do sketch cards for Upper Deck.
Okay.
And you remember like buying baseball cards and Garbage Pail Kids back in the day and Marvel cards?
Mm-hmm.
And we always used to be excited that they...
There's no back in the day. I still occasionally go to Target.
But yeah, actually, I've done sets that have been in Target, like Walking Dead. So Walking Dead and Star Wars, those are through Tops.
Uh-huh.
But the new hotness is when you open a pack that you could get a sketch card. This is a one-of-a-kind, one-time sketch that's drawn actually on the card.
Okay, so it's not a print. You have a little itty-bitty piece. And
correct.
Oh, wow.
2.5 by 3.5 inches. It's the size of a baseball card. And that's so when you open your pack as a customer, you get the regular cards, the printed cards, and then they're like, oh my gosh, I got a sketch card.
Right.
And so I am one of the artists that contribute to those sketch cards.
So that's something worthwhile that you could pull out of a pack if you're buying pop culture type trading cards.
Yes. But as the artist, it pays squat.
Right. You get cred.
Yeah.
They're going for like $70 on eBay, these Walking Dead sketch cards.
You said that one of yours went for $199?
People can mark whatever price they want on them, but I have seen one of my Iron Man cards was someone was selling it for $199.
Did anybody buy it?
I think it's still for sale.
Oh, okay.
But no, I have seen that some people get about $60 to $70 for a couple of cards that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're doing it because it's a Brian Silverback's card. They're doing it because it's their favorite character. It's Cable, it's Deadpool, something like that. But I did just finish a set for Deadpool where all of the cards, you know, were Deadpool related.
Right.
But the way it works is, so...
Do you color them or are they just sketches?
Oh, no, they're colored.
Okay.
They say have to be full color because what they don't want is for the official card to be... Someone opens it and then erases what they want and then draws like a dick on it. And now that's like on the official card.
Right.
So they tell you they want it full colored.
But get one.
Yeah. So for every 10 cards that I complete for Upper Deck or Tops,
mm-hmm.
I get to keep one for myself. And sell however I want.
Do they make the card for you and send it back so you can sell it?
No.
You get the blank card.
I get the blank cards. So if I agree to do 50 like I did for Deadpool, they'll send me 50 cards. They'll send me 55 cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I color 50 and I send those back and say, here you guys go. And then I get to keep 5 for myself. And then to my customers that follow me on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, they can say, Brian, do you still have any of those cards left? And then I'll say, yes, for X amount of dollars, I'll draw what you want on the card and mail it to you, and then you get it directly. And so you as the collector get to say that you got this one directly from the artist, and it'll have what's called an artist proof. It's an AP symbol,
mm-hmm.
and you can only get those from the artist. When you get the random packs, there's no AP label on it.
Okay.
So the 5 that I get to keep have the AP label and makes them a little bit more exclusive.
Now, do they send you extra dummies, extra blanks? So if you fuck up?
No. If you mess up, you have to say, hey, guys, send me another card. And you have to take a picture of it and send it back to them. And then they send you a card. And that takes forever.
Yeah, but that's good quality control on their part.
Yeah. Well, they don't want, like I said, they don't want you to take a Marvel card and draw a DC character or draw a dick or a set of boobs on there or something.
Right.
So they're very strict on what they, on the control like that.
Now, when you do that for Marvel or when you work for Tops and Upper Deck, you start getting a name. So
wait,
do you have people requesting stuff from you based on
your... I do.
Okay.
I think it's tough because I put myself out there in so many different avenues, whether it's social media or having fun on Facebook or when I'm doing the shows like in Chattanooga or whatever. I don't know what's actually garnering the people that are contacting me. I don't know how they found me. Like, mm-hmm. did you find me because you just Googled my name because you got a card out of the pack?
Right.
So it's tough for me to tell where they come from. But I have had people say, hey, Brian, were you on the last set of cards that were released? Do you have any more of your blank cards available?
Okay.
And I'll say, yeah. And there'd be $50 a piece. And he's like, all right, $50. And then they tell me who they want on it. And then I send it.
So does that give you more ammunition for going to a comic book convention and setting up your booth and selling your drawing? But no?
You would think. I thought when I first got the gig, dude, I was walking around with a boner that you couldn't. you just couldn't hide it, man.
Right.
I was like, dude, I get paid to draw Wolverine. Granted, I was only getting paid $2 a card.
What?
Yes. The pay rate for these cards, the 10 that I send in, I was getting $2 a card.
Holy shit.
And I've worked my way up. I've been doing it for like 3 years now, almost 3 years. And now I get $5 a card. So $5 a card for every card that I send to them.
You're paying more in postage.
Well, no, the postage is paid for.
Okay.
Okay, so they cover that.
Okay.
But they're expecting you to make your money when you sell that blank card. So there's a lot of people selling blank cards for like $150 and all kinds of. And I'm like, dude, my customers wouldn't pay $150 for my shit.
What's the most you sold a blank card for?
I think $50 is about what I go for. But the Deadpool cards, because I know that Deadpool's such an in-demand character,
right?
Those are going to be $75 a piece.
Okay, and you get five of them, so
yeah. So I'll make a good.
I can't do math.
I can't do math either, but it's still not where I think it should be.
Right.
It's something that separates me from maybe the guy next to me in Artist Alley.
Right.
But the cut. When I do shows, I used to have this.
$375, by the way, I believe.
I used to have this whole wall of like, here's all my cards. Here's all my cards. And the people at the Comic Cons and stuff, they were like, what are these?
Uh-huh.
Like, they don't even know what they are.
They don't collect the cards?
No.
Huh.
I don't know.
Well, then who's collecting the cards?
Dude, I don't know.
That's mean.
Because you can only really buy the Upper Deck stuff. You can only buy them shits on eBay.
I know.
You have to buy like a whole box, like a collector box that comes with 20 packs.
Right.
You know, guaranteed to have a foil.
Well, if you want to get an autographed baseball or football or basketball or hockey card, you want to get an autographed sports card, you have to go to a hobby show, order it online, and get an unopened box from the factory.
That's guaranteed to have one in it.
Right. You'll either get that or some shitty relic. Now, in the heyday of me collecting that kind of card, I always pulled some guy from the fucking Astros. Nobody ever wanted.
Yeah.
The best card I ever pulled out of it, and this was out of a case of, it was a case. I can't remember the. It must have been Upper Deck. Case of Upper Deck cards, and it was three rookies on one card. It was Ben Roethlisberger,
oh wow,
Eli Manning, and Philip Rivers all signed the same card.
Oh, wow. Like a legit autograph?
Yeah, they had line. It was a landscape, regular size football card with their pictures on it, and then they each signed it.
That's pretty badass.
And it was signed on the card.
How much crack did you get when you sold that?
I'm an idiot for getting rid of it. I should have gotten it. I mean. Also in that same, I mean, this is a case, though.
Yeah.
So think of how many boxes. There were 12 boxes in there. And then I also got an autographed Brett Favre.
Oh, wow.
You know, and, of course, score. I sold all this shit, you know, like a moron. But that football card, if I had that and it was graded, that'd be worth so much money. Have you ever tried grading your cards?
I've seen some people that do. Like, I have graded comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. And I didn't know that the cards were getting graded. So I've seen... I don't know if it was one of mine, but I've seen that Beckett does the grading for cards.
Right.
And I've seen some artist cards that have the sketch cards like I do. I've seen some people grade them.
Hey, everyone out there in the Radio Labyrinth listening area. I'm Alan Sanders, host of the Wilder Ride podcast. Me and my co-host, Walt Murray, started this early in 2018, and we dedicate our main seasons to using the Movies by Minutes format to look at one movie, one Gene Wilder flick, 1 minute at a time, hence the name The Wilder Ride. Well, our first film was Over and Done, and that was Young Frankenstein, and we announced that next year we will be doing Blazing Saddles. But in the meantime, we had some free time on our hands. In the Halloween time frame, we had a poll from our listeners group inside of Facebook, and they wanted us to break down Poltergeist, which we finished in the month of October. But we decided we still have a couple of months left in the year. Why not do something holiday-oriented? Well, we put out a poll, and yours truly totally screwed up the poll, and instead of locking it down to the four movies Walt and I would have loved to have done, we left it open, and that meant we had additional options. And one additional option took the most votes, and that was Chevy Chase's classic National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Episode 1 has already dropped. Now that is a free episode to everyone out there via thewilderride.com, or just search for The Wilder Ride at your podcatcher of choice. But the rest of the episodes, much like with Poltergeist, are going to be available only on our Patreon page to help offset our costs for doing the podcast. So if you'd like to listen to the rest of Christmas Vacation, or go back and catch up on Poltergeist, or any of the other content that we'll be putting on Patreon over the coming months, then come on over and subscribe. Patreon.com/TheWilderRide. We are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, we are even on Instagram. Everything is The Wilder Ride. And if you are interested, come join our listeners group. We've got a regular Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheWilderRide. But click on the join group. It's a closed group, and we'll ask you just a couple of questions. Make sure you're not a bot, and we would love to have you join in the conversation. So a big shout out to Tim and Jeff, Autumn and Steph, and in memory of Effin Ira, who actually is over on our Facebook page, but is having some time off from the Radio Labyrinth. I appreciate having a chance to chat with you guys. On behalf of Walt Murray, I'm Alan Sanders. Come on by, check it out, The Wilder Ride. Oh, and one more thing. I know the Radio Labyrinth has its own page. Hopefully you will subscribe for this wonderful podcast. I listen to it weekly. Love Tim Andrews and company. I hope you go out to iTunes and other podcatchers and leave them a review. And it's really important to add a comment, because somehow the algorithms become a little more strong when you leave a 5-star rating and take the time to leave a comment. And while you're at it, if you're over at The Wilder Ride, do the same for us. We would love for that 5-star rating, and drop us a comment. And I appreciate, once again, Tim asking me to put a little spot together for his broadcast. So thanks, everybody. Let's get back to Radio Labyrinth.
$900 to your current's going for right
Fuck
now.
Fuck you.
But yeah, so I don't have any personally, because it just, that's, it's not, I don't want my cards. You know, I want other people to want my cards.
Right.
So I don't want to get them graded, because I have a tough time selling my cards at the price I have them. If I had it graded, I'd have to mark the card price up, you know, like, dude, this is hot shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd never sell it. Like, I've got cards now that I'm just trying to give away.
Now, how about commissioned works? Do people reach out and say, hey, can you do this for me?
Yes. Well, that's kind of how those blank sketch cards go. That, like, mm-hmm. they'll commission me. They say, Brian.
No, I mean individuals. Reach out who appreciate your art. Know that you do a lot of different things, because we follow you. Because I want to, yeah, and I also want to ask you about the paint cans, the spray paint cans.
That was a failed venture.
I thought they were cool.
Everyone says they're cool, right? So
explain what they are first.
All right, I call them paint pals.
Right.
And it's spray paint cans doing cosplay.
Okay.
So it's like you take a spray paint can, and how, if it was a Boba Fett spray paint can, what traits of Boba Fett would be on the spray paint can? So I did 55 of those for the first series.
Mm-hmm.
And this was probably 3 years ago, when everybody was all Funko Pop, Funko Pop, Funko Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I need to make my own Funko Pop. Like, what can I do? So I was like, I'll take spray paint cans. And I would just, you know, all these different fandoms, and then people would want to have these.
Right.
And nobody wanted to have these. I had stickers flying. Because what I did is I got them in sticker form. They were vinyl stickers, probably like 4 inches tall,
mm-hmm.
and 2 or 3 inches wide. And it was just cool spray paint cans. And nobody gave a shit. Mm. Everybody would call by. Everybody walked by and be like, oh, that's a cool idea. Do you have any Batman prints? And like, so they would get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
But so after the first series, I did like 10 more,
right.
just some characters that I really wanted to do. And I stopped. Everyone says they're cool, but nobody wants to spend $3 on a sticker.
Right.
I made a coloring book. I had a coloring book made up of all the artwork for all of the spray paint cans that, you know, it was one side. It was a really quality coloring book. I did a Kickstarter. And I think I only sold like 100, not even 100. I think I sold like 60 coloring books at $10 a piece. And I was like, all right, I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Quit showing me that shit.
Mint, that card is $1,500.
That's graded. That's why it's
graded mint.
Oh,
autographs, God, by hurts. The way, aren't rare. Because of sports card companies, the market for sport figure autographs is ridiculously stupid. Unless you have a guy like Barry Bonds who didn't like doing it and didn't do it very often. So if you have an autograph of Barry Bonds, it's rare and it's valuable. But Eli Mann, any of these modern guys have signed so many. And then the trick they have is, okay, well, we have 1,000 cards.
Mm-hmm.
900 of them are signed with a blue pen. Okay, so that leaves 100.
So now I need the blue one, the black one.
Now 70 are signed with a red pen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and on down until you get like the reflective silver pen or whatever. Yeah. But it's still the same signature. It's the same guy. So it's ridiculous to have these.
Somebody's buying that
stuff. I know they are, but who? People. You know, I went to a baseball card show. The last time I went, it was all adults and then kids who were bored out of their fucking mind. Now, when I was a kid and I went to a baseball card show, I was like, I want this. I want this.
Yeah.
These kids are on their phones like, Dad, come on.
You know? Yeah, it's they do the same. Like wrestlers, like it used to be. Like I'm a wrestling fan, if you can't tell by my. Hey, yo.
You got the bad guy shirt on.
Yeah, hey, yo. But
I'm the bad guy.
Like when you bought the exclusive, they just released WWE 2K19 or whatever.
The game?
Yeah. But if you order the super bonus deluxe pack with the Ric Flair edition, like you get a 1-inch by 1-inch square of one of the robes that he wore.
Yeah.
Like
they put uniform parts in cards.
Or parts of the apron. Like I remember the Hulk Hogan one. It was like, here's some of the mat that he wrestled WrestleMania 3 on.
Nice.
Like, can you imagine like how big a wrestling ring is, and you cut it into 1-by-1 squares and everyone's like dying over them. Let me get that square. Mm-hmm.
Or the baseball. They take bats. They'll take like a Babe Ruth bat that he actually used and then slice it from the top like it's a salami and stick that in a card so you get a little wafer of wood and it's valuable.
Yeah,
that whole bat is probably worth
$4-5 million.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But certainly in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that Lou Gehrig used, and they slice it up and put it in a fucking baseball card.
I know, it's getting crazy.
Pardon my language.
They do that on Walking Dead. When you get the Walking Dead cards, it'll be like, this is the bloody shirt.
Yeah.
It's a 1-inch square of a bloody shirt that was worn on set by Norman Reedus. And they're like, oh my God, I'm going to masturbate now.
I have a wardrobe card from the Golden Girls.
Oh, wow. No, you
don't. Yeah, I do. And I had, God, what was it? It was from... Oh, that movie with Haley Mills where she played twins.
Parent Trap,
yeah. I have a part of her skirt, a tartan skirt.
Like you got this on a random pack of cards? Or like you went to her house and
there was a square? She's 90 now and I just want to sniff that skirt. No, I got it in a pack of cards along with an autographed Ken Osmond.
Oh, wow.
Which I
kept. Didn't you get that Abe Vigoda card that one time or you were just looking for that one?
No, I have an Abe Vigoda card. Yeah, it was the mini and it's signed by Abe Vigoda. Right, you know, it was before he died, but
Well, of course.
Topps does the Allen and Ginters.
Yeah.
Where they look like old tobacco cards.
Oh, I've seen those.
And there's full size cards and then there's minis, and then the minis are, you know, okay, this is a 1-on-1 press plate or this is a blah blah blah. You know, they 18 different versions of the same card. But then they had the mini autograph card of Abe Vigoda. And he'd sign it in his old man scribble.
Do you don't still collect comic books, do you?
No, I just buy things I want to read. So right now, the only comic book I'm buying monthly or whenever it comes out is Doomsday Clock, which is the sequel to...
But you're more DC than Marvel, right?
I wouldn't buy any Marvel product.
Oh, why? You just have a...
No, not now I wouldn't. I mean,
okay,
back in the day, I collected Spider-Man.
Iron Man
and the X-Men, X-Factor... the Avengers back in the 70s and 80s. That's what I read.
But
Spider-Man just destroyed. I love Spider-Man, but once you got to the 90s and they did that clone saga, if you followed
that. Yeah, I stopped reading that.
Fuck you and the stupid. You know,
but dude, that movie looks outstanding.
Which one?
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, that does look cool. Now, I love that stuff. Yeah. I love all those animated movies.
Well, the reason I brought up the comic books is now what they do is they release, if Venom comes out, Venom number one.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Donnie Cates, who's an awesome dude. He's the hot shit right now as far as writers go in comic books. But they'll have 20 number one issues with cover of this guy's artist, cover of this guy's artist. But now what they do is they have what's called a version. They have like three versions of the same artwork.
Right.
They'll put it on there and it'll say Venom. And then they have what's called a virgin cover, which is just the artwork where they don't write the word Venom or issue one on it. And then they'll have like a black and white one. It's all the same artwork, but they're just bleeding the collectors dry as to You got to buy all three covers of the same thing, and then.
Speaking of Venom, did you see that? Anybody see that movie?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Have you seen it?
No.
All right. I liked what they tried to do with Venom.
It's not in the Marvel universe, though. So
no, it's not canon with the MCU stuff. But it's a very because
it's Fox, right? Fox made it.
Sony.
Sony. Okay.
Sony has
Sony,
Spider-Man.
They have the Spider-Man, but they're about to lose it, I think.
No, not Sony. Sony's.
So Sony loans it to
correct.
To Disney because Spider-Man is in all the
correct.
MCUs.
So Sony owns the rights to do Spider-Man movies,
mm-hmm.
but they struck a deal between Marvel MCU movies to say, let us use Spider-Man and we'll let you use some of our characters
okay.
or something like that. I don't know the inner workings, but all the Spider-Man stuff, as far as movies goes, falls under Sony.
All right.
But so this movie didn't have Spider-Man. It didn't mention Spider-Man. It didn't bring him up. And there was no, and it didn't feel awkward.
Did he have the spider
No.
logo
he
on his?
He just had like white veins when he put the suit on.
All right. In case people out there listening don't know who Venom is, Venom is a character that
he's
was.
He's an alien.
He's an alien, but he was spawned from a symbiotic suit that was given to Spider-Man during the Secret Wars back in
yes.
the early 80s comic books. We're talking 83, 84. And this suit was debuted in the Secret Wars, and then they launched a brand new Spider-Man title called The Web of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You had Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, and then they added, you had Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah, I've gotten issue number 2 of that with Tarantula on the front.
Yeah. And but then they launched a new one called The Web of Spider-Man, and it's him on the cover in the black uniform. And then it turned out that it was symbiotic, and it turned into Venom, and then you got Carnage.
Well, it started making him have, like, bad thoughts
and stuff.
Like he was like, oh, what do I do? And he figured out a way to get it off with Sonic Sound. I think the Fantastic Four helped him out.
Captain Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic. That's another group of people that needs to be brought into the MCU.
Oh, it's coming.
Quit fucking it up.
It's coming because
we're
going to see
gas.
Galactus.
I believe
we're going to see Galactus,
not gas.
No, and Silver Surfer, Power Cosmic. I think all that stuff's coming.
Yeah,
man.
good. And I want the X-Men in the MCU as well, which will happen because Disney's buying Fox.
At some
Fox.
Point.
Disney's buying Fox.
So. Yeah, but who knows what version. Like, you're not getting Hugh Jackman, though.
No,
he's
done.
So we're going to have to learn to love a new Wolverine.
Right. Well, Logan was one of the best Marvel movies ever made. It should have been nominated for an Academy Award. It was a great movie.
Yeah, but it's a comic book movie. We're not giving them any awards.
It was so good.
Oh, it was badass, dude. I really enjoyed that. I grew up on Wolverine. But I forgot where I was going. We started with Venom. Oh, we were talking about Venom the movie.
Yeah, how was it?
All right, so
Tom Hardy's great, so.
Well, they retold the way the symbiote, or however they mispronounced it on the commercials, comes into existence, and it's apparently, according to my buddy Amos, this is a new storyline. This is the new origin of Venom.
Okay.
It's like a spacecraft lands and leaks out. So now these symbiotes are running around on Earth just because they crash landed here.
Mm-hmm.
So it attaches to Eddie Brock. So the fun part was the Venom getting onto Eddie Brock and watching Eddie Brock do that, what is it, the Steve Martin movie where he's got the girl in his
head? All of Me.
Yeah. So
Lily Tom.
Yeah, so he gets to, he's
we
walking around.
Yes.
He's walking around and he's got the Venom voice in his head telling him to do stupid shit or, you know.
Right.
And so it's him and you get to hear the dialogue and that interaction is very great.
And he's thinking that he's going crazy probably.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't know what's going on. He loses his girlfriend, all kinds of stuff. The biggest thing I did not like about the movie is how quickly Venom turned on what his mission was. Apparently he's like part of a SEAL team of symbiotes who were coming to Earth and they were going to take it over. Like that was their mission.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets on Eddie Brock and sees the good in people and he no longer wants to take over. And the moment that takes place in the movie, you're just like, really? Like you guys could have picked a different way for him to see that people are great and you don't want to eat them all. So that
is Carnage in it? Or do they allude to Carnage?
There's a post-credit scene.
Right.
Like, it's
spoiler
the only,
alert.
Yeah, well, the movie finishes, and you're like, oh, dude, I heard Woody Harrelson was cast as Carnage. Like, that was the big rumor, right? Well, finally, Eddie Brock is now, he's a reporter. He's going to the prison to interview some serial killer. And then the guard goes, hey, Red, you got a visitor. And it's Woody Harrelson turns around. He's got this weird red wig, almost like a clown wig, and he turns around, and he's written in blood all over his walls and everything. So Eddie Brock's doing like this quick interview, and Woody Harrelson says, "There will be carnage. Mark my words when I get out of here."
Well, then Venom should realize that that's another symbiote.
Well, he doesn't have it yet. He doesn't have – Cletus Cassidy was a serial killer before he even got the symbiote suit.
When he's all straightened down and at the end, he's made peace with having the symbiote in
him. Yeah, yeah. They're partners now. Like, they're buddies.
All right. So I'm saying that the Venom would have recognized Carnage.
But he's not Carnage yet. Somehow, in the comic books –
sorry, Jeff.
In the comic books,
want to talk Green Lantern canon?
Eddie Brock and Cletus Cassidy were cellmates, and the Venom suit comes and busts Eddie Brock out of jail. And when Eddie Brock busts out of jail, there's a little bit of suit left behind, and it falls on Cletus Cassidy's hand.
Okay,
and that's how Carnage is spawned. So he doesn't have the suit yet. Now he's just a regular old serial killer at this point in the movie universe.
So no Stan Lee cameo in Venom.
No.
Was that,
did they not have one?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I imagine they'll keep putting him in the films.
I don't know.
Well, he's already pre-recorded four of them. Like, he's got four more coming.
So let's get back to talking about drawing. I took about 20 years off from drawing.
Me too.
I drew all the time in high school. Like, I drew this in high school.
Oh, wow, dude. That's not bad at all.
I must have been in 11th grade, maybe 12th grade when I drew that. And
is that Booster Gold?
I didn't trace it or anything. Yeah. And then I just stopped drawing. Jeff liked Skeets. Skeets was his fleshlight. He got me into Booster Gold. Jeff, you know, I wasn't a big DC guy then.
Yeah, I'm still not a DC guy, and really.
I don't read
Except
the comic.
Lobo.
Well, I like Lobo.
Lobo's my man.
But I drew a female, and I called it Booster Gal and sent it to DC, and they wrote me a letter. Oh, we don't take submissions, blah, 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 blah. And then a couple months later, they had a female. But I'm sure they had that planned already. But anyway, I haven't drawn in years, and now I'm getting back into it. So what
now,
I'm
watch your Instagram.
But what I'm doing now is I'm just doing portraits, you know, of people or trying to make them funny and, you know, politics and whatever. I'm trying to get away from that. But I can't draw hands and bodies, so now I'm working on that at home. Mm-hmm. And these are all things I should have known how to do 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah, had you have kept up on it, you'd be a master by now, right?
If I had done it every day, yeah, you would think so. But, you know, so now I'm just doing what I do, and I do it for the Von Hessler Doctrine and for myself. You know, people like some of that
stuff. Yeah, you had a Trump turkey neck or something yesterday?
I drew Trump with a turkey beak and the the beard or whatever. Yeah. Not the beard, but the waddle.
The gobbler.
Gobbler,
yeah. Whatever, the little shit that's hanging down underneath his chin.
So what you got coming up? Anything?
No, I did a show in Chattanooga that was, the show didn't have the attendance that it needed to, but I got to meet Donnie Cates and his girlfriend when they're like comic book, like, they're hot.
Yeah, who's Donnie Cates?
Donnie Cates is writing Venom, Cosmic Ghost Rider. He wrote the Thanos series where Thanos like had Hulk on a leash.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, so he's bringing a whole new writing style to the stuff, the titles that he's given.
Right.
So he's, but I got to actually sit down and talk to him since there was no one coming to the show. It was really cool to have that conversation with him.
I bet.
So I don't have anything coming up. I'm working on some scarves. I'm doing some fan art type scarves for for motorcycle. You know, you like wear the little like a little scarf that you just pull up over your face, and then you pull it back down. Like,
so you're putting a character face on the mask.
Yeah, I draw like from the bridge of the nose down.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten contract, and that was through they contacted me from my Instagram.
Wow.
They said, "Hey, we saw your stuff on Instagram. We'd like to pay you to do 20 designs for us. What's your price?"
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, shit, I've never been asked this before. So I asked a couple of people, hey, how much should I ask for? How much should I ask for? So full disclosure, I'm getting about $150 a piece to draw the mask for these people. But
wow.
But when they release them, nowhere will my name be associated. Like, it won't say, these are Brian Silverback's mask. No. It'll just be
and
like.
And you don't get a piece of it either.
No. I ask them about that. But
well, yeah, that's your due diligence. But in most cases, you're not going to get that.
Yeah, but they also – I'm hoping that if I do a good enough job with these that it'll – because they do like the arm the arm sleeves, leg sleeves for runners and stuff. Like, they have all kinds of equipment like that. And I'm like, dude, if they could turn into a steady job, that'd be pretty BA.
Do you start out with pencil and then do ink.
Not for these.
No, when you're doing your portraits.
What I've found a way that works for me is I'm not very good. It takes me a while to get to where I need to be. So I'll do a digital like sketch. Mm-hmm. I'll use my digital tablet and I'll just kind of get things where I want them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll print that out in blue and then I'll hand draw on top of it. Like kind of after I get the layout, I'm like, this character's doing this or this eye is over here. I want her hair like this. And then I'll print that out after I, you know, make all the layouts in digital form so I can kind of see what it looks like with the turn this way, turn mm-hmm. this way. Then I print it out, and then I'll hand draw on top of that.
So the new technology has made art a little easier to do.
Yeah, well, dude, the undo button is magical.
I mean, like you still have to be an artist, but...
You have to have a little bit of talent, but there's also, like, there's a way that you can set the smoothing of the tool. So, like, when I draw with my pen, if you actually... It's very jaggy.
No, of
but
course.
But I set the smoothing up, and now it'll make my lines, you know, look fluid.
Yeah, what tablet do you use?
I use a UG. It's like a fake Cintiq. Cintiqs are like $3,000.
Oh, fuck that.
But so I got it's UGEE. Mm-hmm. It's a knockoff brand, right?
They're huge.
They're huge.
I own them.
They're
huge tablet.
Why don't you go out and get a fucking tablet and draw it?
It's a digital monitor, so I'm drawing right on my monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And that cost me like $600 on Amazon or something like that. So for like a third of the price of the name brand,
right.
I got this off brand and I'm doing awesome with it. So, but even though I'm drawing, you're like, oh, well, why wouldn't your lines be smooth? Because you're drawing right on the tablet. It's very sensitive. So it can sense the wobble in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might be getting old too. So maybe I can't draw as good as I think I can. Like, so I set the smoothing all the way up. And it sees the line that you tried to draw,
uh-huh.
and then it'll kind of like, all right, let's smooth that out.
See, pivoting here, we need to do a show that's really focusing on comics, modern comics,
yeah.
DC, Marvel, independents, and stuff like that. Because like you asked me earlier, you know, do I still collect? And I get the DC comic, mm-hmm. and then I'll pick up some indie stuff. My favorite is the Planet of the Apes universe that's done by Boom Comics.
Oh, really? Boom Studios.
Yes, and they did one where it takes place right after Taylor walks off.
Oh, I'm not
the original movie. Now,
yeah,
you know
okay.
the end of the movie when Charlton Heston and,
yes.
and Nova walk off, you know, he gets on mm-hmm. his knees.
You maniac.
Well, this one in the movie that those apes that he had chained up in the mm-hmm. cape, they break out and they're following him and they see him going off in the distance. And then, you know, they see Dr. Zaius sees the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And then what washes up after behind that is a dead Kong.
Now, this is in the comic or that was
this
in
is the
movie?
Comic book. So
okay.
there's a dead Kong. And then they go to another island where they go across the ocean in mm-hmm. a boat. And there's another group of apes in another country. And then it's Kong Island.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. I really like the storylines and stuff. And plus, when it comes to that genre of movies, Planet of the Apes is up there with me. That whole, any of them I'll watch. I'll even
really?
Watch the crappy Tim Burton one. Yeah, I love Planet
okay.
of the Apes. From the time I was a kid, I love all of them.
That was the
Marky
Mark one, right? The Tim Burton one?
Yeah, I mean, a really maligned film and kind of terrible. The ending was dumb. But still, I like that whole thing.
Dude, indie comics have gotten to the point now where there's a comic book called, like, Redneck. There's a comic book like the School Bully. There's so many.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff.
It's not all superheroes. And
right.
I think that's what a lot of the people that aren't in the comic book world look at comic books and like, comic books. But, dude, there's all kinds of great stories that are not, da-da-da-da, I'm here to save the world.
Would you see what Bill Maher said after Stan Lee died on his blog?
I tried to ignore that.
Yeah, Bill Maher saying, the guy got people to go see Superman. Fuck you.
That wasn't even his goal. Like, Stan Lee just wanted to – he's a creative dude. He couldn't keep – at bay all his creativity.
If you read the old, if you read the history of Marvel Comics
yes.
and the jobs that he had.
Timely comics and
he
stuff.
He worked his ass off.
Yes.
And plus, back in that era, he had to change his name so people wouldn't know that he was Jewish.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them did that. And he you know, he became Stan Lee. And, you know, the other people, Jack Kirby and all those guys created the characters. But Stan Lee was the face for years.
Mm-hmm.
And to just disparage that. And then, you know, you're basically Bill Maher indicted the entire industry. So you're going to tell me the guy that wrote, you're going to tell me Garth Ennis isn't a fucking genius?
Yeah. There's a ton of geniuses out there. But I don't appreciate.
It's like my grandpa saying, why are you reading them funny books? I mean, my grandpa was 80 years old when he asked me that. And obviously that was a smart thing to ask when you're 80 years old. Why aren't you chopping? You know what I mean? But when you're Bill Maher and you work in the industry.
It just shows how out of touch he is with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
People fucking love comic books and superheroes. Right.
Well, he just likes horrors. Stuff just to get to be part of the zeitgeist. Like, I'm just going to say this because I know it's not popular.
Right.
I saw it on Facebook, right? Someone post unpopular opinion. I hate Tom Hardy. And, like, why would you even put that kind of in? Like, you're just trying to stir shit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing now.
Why can't the unpopular opinion is I love, you know, Ruby Rose.
Right.
Like, talk about something you love, but to say that I hate something that's popular just to try to stir shit up?
Right.
That's the kind of I don't appreciate shit like that.
But that's what happens nowadays with social media. There's 10,000 blogs. They're all talking about pulp culture. They're all talking about pop culture. So you say one thing, then everybody goes, fuck you, or I agree with you, and then you get the viral whatever. We're going to be wrapping up pretty soon, so is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to cover?
No, I do want to throw this out there. Maybe there's someone out there that can help me with this.
Okay.
Comic book shop owners now can solicit from the comic book companies their own variant covers.
Oh, really?
Like, if you have a store, like, so if they...
Like Oxford on Piedmont.
Yeah, so if Oxford were to write to Image and say, you guys got a new book coming out called, you know, Knife Hands,
mm-hmm.
I want to get an Oxford exclusive cover, and I have an artist in mind. And then so Oxford would find the artist and commission them and then tell the comic book company, hey, here's the artist we've got in mind. But so what I'm saying is comic book companies or comic book store owners can set up through the comic book companies their own variant covers.
Okay.
I want to do some covers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got some things working with a couple of, Phoenix Comics. I think they're out of Utah or Iowa.
Okay.
I might be working with them to do a cover. And Epicos in Chattanooga, I might be doing a cover for them. But if anybody out there, if any comic store owners out there want a cool-ass Brian Silverback's exclusive cover, y'all know where to find me. I just wanted to put that out there. You know, who knows where it could land?
How long does it take you to turn around a commission piece?
If let's say I was going to do a cover like for the comic, I could probably.
How about if you're going to do T-shirt art for a podcast?
Oh no, that would be if the idea was set,
uh-huh.
And everyone knew already what they wanted, it'd probably be like 2-3 days.
What do we want?
Well, we were talking about that, doing some kind of take on a Die Hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you were Hans Gruber and
yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that. That's no problem.
We want to have a shirt in time for Christmas.
Okay. Oh, so you... Okay, yeah. I've got so many fucking things I got to finish before Christmas.
Finish your stuff.
No. It's not you. It's just I've got this one weird project that the lady wants me to do. They're going to pay me, right?
Yeah.
And she wants to give it to her husband for Christmas, but it's like not what I do, so I've been like putting it off.
Do you ever get, hey, can you do... You know, Padme giving Chewbacca a blowjob.
I have gotten that a couple of times, and I'm like, you're going to have to go find somebody else to do that.
Like, good for you. You won't sell out for the
man. I don't need my name attached to that.
That's the thing, yeah.
I have contemplated coming up with a different name and then just doing the dirty shit because the people that are doing the dirty shit are getting paid because there's a lot of pervs out there with
rule
money.
Rule 34. Do you know what Rule 34
is? I do not know that.
Rule 34 comes from 4chan and or Reddit. I don't know. So whatever. But it basically says if it exists, there is porn of it. So Rule, R-U-L-E, 34. If it exists, there's porn of it.
All right.
So if you go to Google and you type in, Golden Girls, Rule 34. Don't do that, Jeff. We have, you know, you're on Wi-Fi.
No, I'm sending Brian the Die Hard thing we were looking at.
Okay.
Okay.
We, you know, you Jeff had asked another guy who's done our shirts in the past, but
Dustin?
No.
Ben Bowling.
Yeah, Ben Bowling.
Okay. I think he's busy or out of town.
Well, I'm sure he's got a ton going on.
Yeah, you want to get it by Christmas because it's a Christmas movie. Except not to Bruce Willis.
Well, it is. Fuck Bruce Willis. So how do you know Matt?
Matt who?
You brought him to the live show we did.
Oh, Matt Parker. We went to high school together.
Okay.
Matt and I went to the
middle school.
Well, he was going to do art too. Like we were both going to be artists and stuff. And he dropped it, and now he's just doing video games. Like he's a hardcore gamer, but he lives down the street from me. So we reconnected when I got back out of the military.
Right.
And he had finally stopped doing all the young adult things he was doing.
Right, right.
And so he was on he got a girlfriend and got married, and so we're just old high school buddies, dude.
Right. Yeah. So what do you mean video games? Does he have a Twitch channel or something?
No, he just plays the shit out of video games. Dude, if he's not at work, he's at home playing video games. He's got more platinum trophies than anybody I've ever seen on his PlayStation. Shit. And you only get a platinum trophy by finishing the entire game and all the missions
and all that.
Wow.
Yeah, I told my wife that I'm going to get a new PlayStation and Red Dead Redemption 2. She said, we're going to be living alone.
I never played. See, when Red Dead came out, the first one, mm-hmm. Matt couldn't come out of the house.
See, I played that. That was fun.
He plays that, and he plays the shit out of Destiny.
I don't know what that is.
It's a shooter game, but it's got a lot of story to it.
I'm thinking about signing up to play Fortnite. That looks fun.
I can't. But I'm not good at shooters. I'm no good at shooters.
I like shooter games. My favorite of all time was Black, where you could shoot everything in the game.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, it came out.
I was never good. I played 2000s. Black Ops.
Yeah.
When I was a policeman, I worked odd hours, so everybody on our shift would be awake at the same time. So we all bought Black Ops when it first came out.
Right.
And so we'd all get together and play Black Ops, and I'd always be the guy that got shot a million times. But it was cool. That got me into I like doing this. I'm playing with the guys. You know, we're doing this. And then as we got older, different people got to different shifts, and now I don't need to pay $60 to suck at a game.
Right.
But I tell you what, that Spider-Man game was, I had a lot of fun playing that damn Spider-Man game.
I haven't played a video game since 2015.
I wanted to get it just to see if I could climb the HBO building and look into the window of my old office. I bet you could.
That'd be cool.
But, dude, they had a Ghost Rider version of Spider-Man. I didn't even know that was a thing.
A Ghost Rider?
Yeah, so he's all white. It's called the spirit spider or something like that. He's all white, but he's got a skull head and blue flames coming off.
Oh, that's cool.
So, running around town, as the blue flaming head spider, I was like, that's pretty cool. There's like 20 uniforms you can unlock.
I was out smoking a cigarette the other night, and I came up with a complete origin movie for a new Ghost Rider without Nicolas Cage ruining it. Because Ghost Rider was one of my favorite comic books.
You got to check out the Cosmic Ghost Rider. You want me to blow your mind real quick? Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Uh-huh.
It's Frank Castle.
Really?
Yes.
No shit.
Yeah. And the reason he's a Cosmic Ghost Rider is he has the power Cosmic from the Silver Surfer.
Uh-huh.
So, dude, you want to talk about a bad son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. The Cosmic Ghost Rider, Frank Castle, Ghost Rider, all mixed, and Silver Surfer, all mixed into one character. Cosmic Ghost Rider is the shit.
All right. Cosmic Ghost Rider is the shit. Anything, Jeff, that you got to add?
Thanks for having me over for Thanksgiving at your brother's place.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Oh, I missed the invite.
All you would give me was a little cup of applesauce.
Yeah, that's all you get. That's my niece. That's all she ate was applesauce. We and I had a nice Thanksgiving. You had a good Thanksgiving.
I did have a good Thanksgiving. I'm a little hungover now.
I got
dog slobber all over my knee. I just noticed it on my way here.
I had to get up at 2 in the morning, tearing the medicine cabinet and the apart, looking for my Lanta, and none of it in there. So it's freezing cold. I get in the car, drive to the only place that's open in 24-hour BP in Tucker, and got Pepto Bismol, and I I'm chugging it there in line. But could you go to open it? I'm like, take the money.
I got $5. Just hold on.
Hold on, buddy. All right. Well, thank you for coming in, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
We got to have you back more.
I'm going to do? I told myself on the way here.
Right.
I'm auditioning to fill the Ira spot. That's what I'm doing. I know Ira's taking a hiatus from the show. I was like, you know what? I'm going to come in there. I'm going to blow him away. I'm going to be the new effing Ira.
Well, here's the thing. We have a rotating slot.
Yeah, we're trying to rotate people in once a month.
And you got to come on and be the art and the comic book guy.
I'm going to have to brush up on my knowledge.
Well, don't worry about that. We'll just talk about it. But we love having you. And
we just talk about whatever you're watching on TV and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Do you guys watch that Adam Sandler special on Netflix?
I keep telling Tim to watch it. It's so fucking good.
Oh, my God. Adam Sandler, like, I'm hardcore early Adam Sandler.
Right.
Yeah,
not so much Netflix Adam Sandler.
No.
But this special.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Was awesome. Dude, and the last song blew my mind.
Don't spoil it. I'm gonna watch it this way. I'm talking to him.
But the very last song was like, dude, that fucking rocks.
Yep.
Take out your cock and balls and play with it. You got some cock and balls.
You need it. So if we're doing the what do you guys call it?
Staff picks today.
All right, that would have been my staff pick is the Adam Sandler because that's
so
badass.
Fucking good. I've been telling Tim for like a month to watch it. You gotta watch it, and you gotta watch Escape at Dannemora, man.
I watched? I watched half of the Coen Brothers thing last night.
Oh,
I fell asleep
Buster
at
Scruggs,
2 in the morning.
Yeah.
I fell asleep after the gold guy.
Yeah, that was the best one, the Tom Waits one.
That was Tom Waits?
Yep, Tom Waits was that prospector.
That was him?
Yeah.
I kept trying to figure out, who is that? And it's Tom Waits. He's like, hey, you gotta make me do all the work and then shoot me.
Yep. Shoot me in the back, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that was a good one, but that's when I decided.
That was the best one, but they're all good. Called? Keep watching. It's on Netflix. That's called
The Ballad of
Buster Scruggs.
Oh!
It's the Coen Brothers.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and it's really good.
Is it a series or just one movie? They were going to do it as a series of six
two-and-a-half-hour episodes, but they edited it down to 1 2-hour movie.
Oh, okay. It's 2.5
hours. Yeah, 2.5 hours.
All right, Brian, we're going to have you back in January, hopefully.
All right,
you just let me know. And as always, you know, send us your stuff, all your links and stuff so we can promote it.
Yes, sir.
We'd love to do that. And thank you for coming in the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, it's Black Friday.
Yeah,
African-American Friday.
Don't say that.
It's called Black Friday, and I don't participate in anything racist, so I'm not doing any shopping today.
Same here. Also, I don't have any money.
Right. Yeah, that helps.
Not for that shit. All right. We will be back again next week with Steph and Autumn and Autumn's funny voices and Steph's funny take on everything pop culture. Until that time, please remember to
keep it canon.
You can say that.
Well, I was like, oh, what's the... Keep it canon.
There you go.
Keep it canon and stay creative.
That.
Mick would like to wish you all a Merry Christmas.
And we at Radio Labyrinth would like to wish you a Merry Christmas. Thank you very much, Jerry Garcia, for noodling on the guitar there and the abrupt ending. But hey, this is where we read all the names of the wonderful people who support us via Patreon. You can become a Radio Labyrinth patron by simply going to patreon.com/TimAndrews and join the likes and ranks of such amazing people as Aaron Roberts, Adam Kelly, AJ Dysart, Al McKeon, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Hopkins, Brennan Price, Brian Jackson, Brooks Sizemore, Buck Monterey, Chad Shepard, Chris Colhard, Chris Knight, Chris Meitzler, Chris Weiland, Christopher Cosentino, Colin Oman, Dan Carroll, Daniel Pitts, Darren Downey, David C. Funk, Dean Poole, Debbie McDonald, Denise Reynolds, Dennis Davis, Dustin Lawler, Emily Warren, Eric Malmstrom, Garrett Kemble, Herb Lamb, JB, Jamie Kirkland, Jeremy Truman, John Bennett, Jonathan Wilson, Jose Perales, Joshua Schiffer, Keith Tate, Kevin Stokes, Kit Beatty, Lauren Calderman, Leslie Haney, Leslie Norman, Lou Caniglio, hello Lou, Mark Jones, Mark Piero, Mark Weiland, Matt Carter, Matt Tenaglia, Mike D, Mike Hall, Mike Spittler, Nicholas Frank, Robert Calderman, Robert Haley, Ruben Aguilar, Rusty Weinberg, Ryan O'Connor, Ryan Humans, Seth Ingram, Sean Hall, Sherry Dougherty, Stephanie Kaminsky, Trent, Wayne Blair, Wendy Muller, and last but not least, Zach Pittman.